Andrew Jeffrey Stevenson, a stupid man by his own admission, is in critical condition from gunshot wounds. He's entirely alone. His wife left him for someone more successful and someone better. When he's honest with himself, he knows he's just waiting to die. And he does. And that's just the tip of the iceberg in our story today. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. And let me tell you, I am so excited for this episode. We're going to be talking to Nate Allen. He is the author of the book, The Counterfeit. And what I love about this particular month is that I always have the opportunity to showcase darker fiction within the fiction. Because, like Mike Duran says, why should Satan have all the fun when it comes to horror, thriller, and some of those bone-chilling tales that some of us like to tell and some of us like to read? I really believe that horror and dark tales have a really fundamental place in Christian fiction, and The Counterfeit is no different. It starts off like a very interesting scene in the Twilight Zone episode, and then it gets weirder from there. But The Counterfeit asks us a question about something. Do you accept the counterfeit or do you accept the truth? And that's just one of the themes that we'll be discussing today on the show with my guest co-host and contributor today, Nate Allen. If you want to weigh in, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guest, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We're talking to my guest co-host and contributor, Nate Allen. He is the author of the book, The Counterfeit. And The Counterfeit reads like a wonderful tale of the Twilight Zone. And those of you who know me, you know I'm into sci-fi, and you also know that I do love my old sci-fi. And this is just in the same realm, but it has a wonderful twist that I know you're going to enjoy. The counterfeit is currently available on Amazon.com for 99 cents, so make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy. Not tomorrow, not the day after that, but pick it up today, because one thing we want to do is support our authors on this show. The Right Stuff has been giving you Christian authors from all over the world for the last 5 years, and we have tales and lots of good stories to share with you. So make sure you love my brother today and get a copy of his book, The Counterfeit, available on Amazon.com. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, Nate Allen. Nate, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you for asking, and thank you for having me on the show.
I am so glad that you took time out of your busy schedule to be here with us today. I never take it lightly when you come on board, so thank you so, so very much. Been looking forward to this for some time, because I think we started talking maybe like a year or so ago. Like, we were talking to have you on the show, and then just stuff happened with me, and I think stuff happened with you, and we just couldn't get it together, but now we got it together. I'm so excited, because your book that Peter Younghusband mentioned, Daddy, Death is Not the End, I think that was the book he mentioned, and that was the book I was like, well, I got to read about that one. It was either that one or I think it was the, I can't remember, it's a trilogy,
Future trilogy.
Yep. Yes, that yep. one. Either one of those with Peter Younghusband, and as you may or may not know, Peter Younghusband is a special advisor to our show. You know, he recommended you, so I'm really excited to have a chance to talk to you and talk about your book, The Counterfeit, and your other works. So once again, thank you for being with us. And so for people who don't know
thank
who you are, tell us who you are in your own words.
Well, I want to start off by saying the Lord has definitely spoiled me. He's given me a beautiful wife of 6 years and two little girls. I'm truly a blessed man across the board. I've been writing for a little over 11 years now. Unlike most authors, I don't have several stories in my head trying to get out. Instead, I have very specific moments where God plants the story and I write what I feel he wants me to say. I also don't write with a specific audience in mind. My goal in writing is very simple. I don't write to just tell stories. I write to offer hope. So.
I like how you said that the Lord has spoiled you. I like that, because you said I have a beautiful wife and two lovely little girls, and I've seen pictures of them, and they're absolutely adorable, Nate.
Thank you.
Because we're often so worried about the struggle that we go through that we forget to say, Lord, thank you for what you have currently given me. Who can forget the
absolutely.
Verse that says, whatever state I am in, therewith to be content? And sometimes we forget about that because we focus so much on the struggle. Not that the struggle isn't real. We're not saying that at all. But
no.
What we are saying is that we need to be thankful for what we have now. Now, I love the fact that you said that. I love you. I even like how you said it. See, I know you're a writer, because you said, the Lord has spoiled me. I love that. I love that. And so let's
thank
talk
you.
About your journey
well,
to
yeah,
the faith.
You
what
know,
does that look like? Okay, go ahead.
The children of God, and he spoils us. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, my next question, what does your journey to faith look like? Because when you can say the Lord has spoiled me, there's got to be a story behind that. Tell us about that.
Believe it or not, I actually came to Christ when I was 2 years old. He's
oh.
my best friend. I had such a relentless passion to spread his message of salvation. People laughed, but I didn't care. The message was too important, and my friend was too important. But life has a tendency to take away the simplicity of pure, doubtless faith. At 10 years old, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 multiple myeloma, which is a cancer of the blood and bone. He fought for 3 long, brutal years and then died a shriveled up shell on our living room couch. And God seemed to die with him that day. For 7 years, I walked away, the very mention of his name causing my blood to boil. It felt like I had been betrayed by my best friend. Not just with him taking my dad, but then remaining quiet when I needed him most. At 16, I turned to writing and found it could help me heal. And even more importantly, I found I could talk to God again. Writing is a strong form of worship for me. It's when I feel closest to my Savior.
I like how
so
you
my story
said,
has,
you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's had a lot of bumps. A lot of, you know, started with such a pure faith at 2, and it's been tested. But my love for Jesus is, you know, it's so, even though it's not as innocent as it used to be, it's real. And that's all I can really put it as.
I like how you said that. You know, I have to, when you mentioned that your love is not as innocent, and I truly understand what you mean. And I have
yeah.
to use my example. Forgive me for going off tangent for just 2 seconds, but I have to use the example that I have to thank Ricky Strong. She just had a baby. Congratulations, Ricky. She's an author friend. I have to thank her, Ricky Strong. She just had a baby. But I have to thank her for this because when my nephew was a baby, he loved me. He came to me and I can calm him down. Then he started, now he's in his teens and it's like, I hate you.
You
know?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I'm like, I hate you. And I'm like, what are you doing to me? You know? And then one of my, I was almost crying because it wasn't just my nephew, it was my godsons too. And I was in tears because I'm like, we were so close. And all of a sudden you started getting hair on your chest and you forgot all about auntie. And then I think Ricky was like, you know, they'll come back to you. They will. And when they come back to you, that love is going to be even stronger because it's a love choice. It's not just a simplistic love. It's different now. And I know what you mean, like it's not innocent, but it's real. And I have to quote Elizabeth Chalker when she says, my face is not polished. It's not pure, like, you know, like pure silver, but it's real. It's real unpolished face. And that's what she said.
Absolutely.
So I love the way you said that. Love that. And I totally understand what you meant, how it's not innocent, but it's real. Because it is like a betrayal when God doesn't answer you the way you want him to answer you, especially when it comes to the loss of a loved one. And I know some of you who've been following me for a while, you know about my own struggle I had when my twin sister was diagnosed with cancer in 2016. And some of you were there with me. You know, well, thank the Lord. She's fine. She's better. She's out of remission. And Lord, some people don't have stories like that. They don't have that, you know, Lord healed stories, you know. And Saturday, I saw her, and her hair, she had fallen out from the chemo, and now it's twice as big. You know, now it's twice as big now. And you know, so I understand what that means. Now, I have interviewed a lot of authors, and I noticed that you like dark fiction. Go ahead and tell us, why do you like dark fiction?
I feel it's I like to show how God isn't afraid of even the dirtiest places. And I feel the only way to truly convey this through a story is to take the reader into that very real darkness, and then we let Christ light it up. You need to feel the dirt. You need to feel the chains. You need to feel the hopelessness. If you can't sell the dark, the light has very little impact.
I like how you said that. I think of the Crossover Alliance, which is a partner with The Right Stuff, and they say a light shines brighter in the darkness, and you'll hear that later on throughout the broadcast.
Yep.
A light does shine brighter in the darkness. And one thing about dark fiction, it really shows the human condition in all of its ugliness, because we all like to think that we're really just good people who make mistakes, and that's not the case. The Lord said the heart is desperately wicked, and if you're saying desperately wicked, that means it's always looking for something to go wrong. If we look back in Genesis chapter 6, you know, he said everybody wanted to do what was right in their own eyes. Everybody wanted to do whatever they wanted to do, kind of like now. Everyone wants to do what they want to do. And so how can you say that we're just really good people who are making mistakes and not acknowledging the fact that we are sinners, dunked in sin, stained in sin, created out of sin because of the first sin that Adam did? And so we have to acknowledge that. That's why I think horror and dark tales like the one you have are so important to the Christian fiction realm. Some people disagree with me. They don't even want to hear about it. They say, if you say, I'm like, I've had, thankfully, speculative fiction has grown in the Christian fiction market. But there was a time if you said Christian horror, someone thought there was something wrong with you. They thought, you know, obviously you're not a Christian because you're using Christian and horror in the same sentence, you know. And I love how Mike Duran says, you know, why should Satan have all the fun? You know, if I can say it like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have those tales that, you know, that just bring, even though they're dark, they bring to light so many different things. And I've interviewed authors who write dark fiction for the last several years. Now, they view dark fiction as a way to express the human condition, like I mentioned earlier. So as a dark fiction writer yourself, your books tackle different subjects. So kind of expand on what you said earlier, because do you see this as a ministry?
Well, I'm going to kind of build on what you were saying. Like, I feel that too often Christianity is given a squeaky clean presentation, my people who aren't squeaky clean. Instead of admitting their faults and struggles, it seems a more common way is to make Christianity almost like a clique. And this is very frustrating for me because it has spread a message of entitlement, a message of nose-in-the-air conduct, where saved people judge those who aren't, pointing out others' sins while pretending theirs no longer exist. Dark fiction is definitely a ministry because it shows Christ in a true light. No one is too far gone for him, and he will always leave the 99 to seek out the one that is lost.
I like that, especially how you said, you know, dark fiction does shine. And there are some people who won't read the dark light fiction. They won't read it because dark fiction tends to be kind of honest. If you think about it, it's kind of honest because it really encapsulates the darkness of the human condition. I was thinking of like people who are goths and like adhere to the goth lifestyle. Those people are into the morbid, but there's a certain honesty to that because they understand that there's darkness, and to accept that is not to, I mean, you don't have to embrace it, but they accept that and they understand that, and they're able to, I mean, like I said, I don't want to be wearing the black lipstick and, you know, putting piercings in my eyes and all that weird stuff, you know, but at the same time, they do accept that darkness. I know for myself, too, I've had an author on this show many times. He was my first, because I like dark fiction, Nate. He was my first male auto-buy, and his name is Mark Carver. Those who have been following me, you know I mention Mark all the time. And one thing he said is that I think if the Lord wasn't in my life, I would be attracted to the dark. And that was just a very honest assessment of how some people are. Some people, like in that movie Batman with the Joker, he says some people just want to watch it burn. You know, there are some people who are just attracted to that. And I think there are some of us who are called to that darkness to bring light to it. I think that's why dark fiction does have a place in Christian fiction. And so I'm really glad that you're one of the ones tackling that. And during the month of October, I have that opportunity to showcase you. And so when it comes to, before I want to go take a quick break real quick and then ask you about the book. For those of you who are listening in, you can call in and weigh in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Coe, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. I hope you're having just as much fun as I am talking to Nate and about his book, The Counterfeit. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to my good friend here, Nate Allen, and he is the author of The Counterfeit. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, and currently it's on sale for 99 cents. So make sure you go ahead and get your copy of The Counterfeit today. One thing that we're doing for the month of October is highlighting dark fiction authors, because usually during the month of October, people use that month to kind of glorify Satan. Some, there are some Christians who will tell you shouldn't celebrate Halloween for XYZ reason, and there are other people who say it's all right. Do as the Lord bids you to do when it comes to this issue. But what I like to do is switch that around, because like Mike Duran says, why should Satan have all the fun? Because in the darkest places, the light shines through. And with me to continue to talk about that is my guest co-host, Nate Allen. And Nate, you were talking before the break about, you know, some of the books I mentioned, some of the authors I've worked with. What were you going to tell me about some of your books that you have out there?
We were talking about that quote about, you know, without God, we would be attracted to the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I go one further and say, without Jesus, I am utter darkness. That there's really no, like, he is the good in me. And what I think about dark fiction, where it makes people uncomfortable, is it shines a light on our still sinful nature. That just because we're saved, we are not perfect, and it is only because of what Jesus did for us that we are worthy. It has nothing to do with what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are still filthy on our own. We are redeemed by his blood, and because of
and
what
we
he did
are.
On the cross. Yeah.
And we are. And I like how you said we are other darkness, because we couldn't even know what light was if he didn't show us what that light was. I remember one
Absolutely.
Time I had an idea for, and you know, we're writers, Nate. I know you say you don't have a lot of characters in your head, but I disagree. They're just sleeping right now. So I had an idea. Yeah, just sleeping. But I had an idea for this idea about the Cimmerians, you know, kind of coming from Conan. And but in my idea, the Cimmerians, they were just dark people, and they were always
uh-huh.
stagnant, because darkness is stagnant. Darkness doesn't move. Darkness is very still. That's why there are sometimes when you read a novel and they say the darkness was still and it moved around them, but it didn't go anywhere. And light moves, you know, light moves just by its nature.
Yeah.
Darkness
and it breaks
is stagnant.
Up. Right.
Yeah,
yep.
And
mm-hmm.
that's why, because it doesn't move, because darkness doesn't move. I mean, if we're going to talk physical properties,
yeah.
it doesn't move. And so light
Absolutely.
Moves. And I had this idea of the Cimmerian falling in love with a creature of light. And it's I don't know if it would be female. I have unsolved ideas in your head. And so I like that you said that
yeah.
because I am utter darkness without the Lord. And I am utterly
yep.
dark without him. And that's why I go back to the verse. He said the heart is deceitfully and desperately wicked. It's wicked. And that
Absolutely.
Means that at the core we're wicked. Even the nicest person you know, the person
yep.
who wouldn't normally tell a lie, the person who wouldn't normally do something, even on our good days, we're still good enough to go to hell. That's how my mom used to say it. We're
yep.
still good enough to go to hell. And so that's why we need Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm glad that we're showcasing these dark fiction authors during the month of October to let you know that, first of all, in the darkness, it can't completely be over. It can be overshadowed by the small pinprick of light. And that's what Nate is doing for us today. And so in the book, The Counterfeit, which I am enjoying reading, by the way, when it comes to
Thank
death,
you.
People, whether non-believers or believers, they either embrace it or try to stave it off. And most of the time we try to stave off because, you know, we're already having fun in this body. We want to continue to have fun. For Andrew, he's accepted it, but he finds a different reality. So some people will say that death is merely opening a door to a different reality. Do you think this coincides with what the Bible teaches?
Well, I think in the sense of a different reality, our current life is but a shade compared to what's to come. But also I think it's about context. I believe 100% that when this life ends, there are no more chances for salvation.
Hmm.
I believe there's a preset time for each and every one of us. And if we do not repent and ask for salvation in that time, we lose out on the eternal presence of our triune creator. Now, for anybody who does read The Counterfeit, you will find that the story does not cross the line of what's biblically sound. Even though speculative, I always remain within the parameters of God's word.
That's important for a lot of people because when they're delving into speculative fiction and dark fiction, some people get nervous. And I understand why people get nervous about that because they don't want to be blasphemous to the Lord. They don't want to say things that are wrong. And so for those of you out there who like to write dark fiction, you like to read it, make sure you just stay within the parameters. And there are gray shades because sometimes the Lord does not explain everything to us. And I always say, well, we'll find out when I get to heaven because I'd rather be dumb now and to know later than to know now and not be with him later. I mean, for me, it's all about being at the feet of Christ. I want to bow down at the feet of Christ. That's all I want to do.
Yep.
And I totally understand. I mean, I don't have to know everything. It's not important for me to know, you know. But I like that you said that because that's important for our authors out there because one thing I want to encourage our authors, if you're a Christian author, but you kind of like dark fiction, don't think something's wrong with you for liking that. You're not alone, first of all. Even my very first book, Nate, was it's called Dark Sheriff. It's a horror story. And when I first wrote that story, it took 10 years to write. It took me 10 years to write that story. When I first wrote it, I thought I was going to usher in a new genre. Like, this is going to be huge, you know.
I think we all have that feeling. Yeah.
I looked up and
like,
Ted Decker had did it. Freddie had did it. Right? All these other people have been there before me on the mountain that I just climbed on. And so I said, there are people already here. And so guess what? You are not alone in this thing. And I want to encourage you. We want to showcase Christian authors worldwide and encourage Christian authors from various faith walks and things of that nature. Make sure you keep that in mind as you debate what you want to write about. Now, when people are hurt, like Andrew was hurt by his wife, what are some of the common mistakes that they make?
Well, in Andrew's case, I'd say his biggest mistake was letting her still be a presence in his life, even though she was no longer around. And it happens with us, too. When someone hurts us, the hardest thing to do is move on. Mm-hmm. So in many ways, they are allowed to haunt the halls of our mind almost like a ghost. If they beat you down with words, you hear those words every time you try to step out in courage. If they dismantled you by being untrustworthy, they are now the standard by which you see people. And there are many other examples, but they haunt you. And that's a mistake we make, is letting them remain in our life even after they've left it.
That right there will preach. Someone needs to be freed by what you just said, Nate, because we keep them in our lives. This person has hurt us, and then we keep them in our lives. I know I'm guilty of that myself, Nate, because I'm one of those people where I give people chances. You know, oh, my gosh, there's a nice thing on my back. But maybe the first time you didn't mean to do that. You know, that's how I think, right? You didn't do that the first time. It's by mistake. It tripped. You tripped over a knife, and it jumped up in the air and stabbed me in the back.
Yeah.
You know, that's you. And then it happens again and again and again because I give people chances. As opposed to one of my family members, you got one time to mess up with her, you know, one time, and after that she's done. And I'm like, I wish I could be that way, you know. I wish I could be that, but that's just not who I am. So what I have to do is ask the Lord to guard my heart and learn when to step away from people and when to offer that forgiveness, because you don't want to make your forgiveness cheap to people. I'm not saying people don't have to earn your trust anymore, but you don't make your forgiveness cheap. If I can use that word right, I hope I'm using that right.
Well,
go ahead.
There's also a nice, like, you know, people always attribute Christianity with niceness, but it also comes to a point where you can be taken advantage of because you're trying to show the love of Christ. And there's got to be a ground there where you take a stand, you know, just where you don't let them continue doing that to you because it's not what the Lord wants for you either. Yeah.
That makes absolute sense. That makes absolute sense because one of the things that you don't want to do is make the Lord look like he's a walkover, because the Lord is not a walkover. And just because you're meek doesn't necessarily mean meek does not necessarily mean weak. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It doesn't mean that you're weak. That means that you learn how to take care and you don't always have to jump in the forest and, you know, burn up everything because you get mad or anything like that. You learn how to work within that. But, you know, because we relate the part about God being a God of love. We love that part, but we forget that he's also a God of wrath. We forget that, you know, our God is a consuming fire, you know. Go ahead.
He's the judge, yeah. Yeah, meekness more is just restraining that strength, mm-hmm. you know, like it's knowing when to use it. Like, are you going to punch a hole in the wall or are you going to take a deep breath? You know, that, you know, it's not like you're weak. It's you have control over yourself, over your emotions. Because Jesus isn't weak, but he was meek because mm-hmm. he had control.
And that means a lot when you understand the difference. And so that's why being Christ-like is a constant improvement. We're mm-hmm. always trying to be like Christ. We never will get there until we get to heaven where we have new bodies that won't be corrupted by sin. And so that's something to look forward to. Now, D is a character in the book who is like this black guy with dreads. And he's kind of very unassuming. And that's what kind of, D, when he first enters, creeps me out. He creeps me out because I know something's going on with D. You know, I know something's going on with D.
Yeah.
And because he's so unassuming, that makes it even scarier. And that's why The Counterfeit is such a really good book if you like a little spine tingly, because Nate's wordsmith skills are quite unique in bringing and drawing you into that creepy feel that Twilight Zone gives. That's why I said this is like the Twilight Zone, so make sure you get your copy of The Counterfeit today. It's 99 cents. But D gives Andrew what he wants, but it's not what he needs. Do you believe people would rather be placated by desires than what they need to live?
I think this is the age-old question of flesh versus spirit. And I think even as Christians, the answer to this question is yes, far more than we would like to admit. Like, our spirit needs, our flesh wants. Our spirit thirsts for the living water. Our flesh wants to throw caution to the wind. Even though Jesus said it is finished on the cross, we know that our struggle with the flesh will not be finished until we are in our eternal home,
mm-hmm.
which isn't always easy.
Yes. Yes, I like that. One thing I was thinking of, like the flesh, okay, like you can never tempt me with certain things. Everyone has vices, you know, and you can never tempt me with like alcohol, you know.
Mm-hmm.
you can never tempt me with alcohol. Yeah. I don't drink. You can never tempt me with alcohol. But if you put a cookie in front of me, a beautiful chocolate chip cookie that just got out of the oven that's warm, you know, you may, I mean, it's going to take a lot, you know. And so instead of saying, well, I need to exert self-control, I say, well, I wish there was a pill that can suck up the fat inside of me so I can eat the cookie and not worry about it. You know what I mean? So that's what I want. I just
no
want to see my desires.
Yeah.
So I totally get that. And D does give him what he wants. And so what I want to do right now, I want to read an excerpt from The Counterfeit, because I love, like I said, I love your wordsmith skills, Nate. I love your wordsmith skills. And I've been so fortunate enough to have great authors on the show with wonderful wordsmith skills. And so what happens here is that Andrew has just, he's died, or we don't know yet, but he's gone, but he's on the other side. And he's kind of aware that he's creating something as he's drifting off into the unknown. And so what happens, he wakes up, or he comes to in a beach, and there is his wife, but his wife looks much sexier than she does in real life. And there's a lot of humor as I read this, because I kept wondering, I wonder how many men really think that, you know? And so, you know, and so this wife in this paradise is the exact kind of wife that he wants. It's not the one that he had, okay? And so right here I want to read this excerpt. Before Angie left me, I had a fleeting thought. She was the reason I gambled so much to begin with. I never told her this. She wouldn't have listened. But has she loved me for who I was instead of expecting more and more out of me? Has she found me worth much of anything? I wouldn't have taken such stupid risk trying to earn her admiration. I like this feeling. The prison of self-pity has had the bars cut away, and I'm able to see from the outside in. What a stupid man I was under the thumb of a stupid woman, but no more. This Angie will be everything I want. She will be sweet, kind, and submissive. She will not want to argue because my view is her view. She will not have differing opinions. She will not have opinions at all. Opinion is where the trouble really begins, and old Angie was full of them. What a stupid woman. She was lucky to have me. Honestly, I wish her a terrible life, and I hope her new husband gets tired of how she is and leaves her. I revel in the very idea. To have her feel small and defeated. Oh, how wonderful. that will be. And that's an excerpt from The Counterfeit by Nate Allen, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And there's a lot going on in this scene. And that's what makes this scene kind of powerful, because there are things that he's realizing on the edge of death that he didn't realize in life. You know, there are things about himself that he's realizing that he's coming to grips with. And in this paradise that's been created as he dies, he gets the wife that he wants. And it's the wife that doesn't have an opinion, that doesn't make him feel bad, that's sexier than what he ever knew, because, you know, who doesn't want a perfect husband, a perfect wife, and all these things.
Yeah.
So as the reader is reading this, what are some of the things that you were trying to convey as we begin to know who Andrew is?
Well, you find him, he's in the hospital bed because he got shot because he gambled and lost. So, you know, he's this broken man, and waking up, he almost has his second start, and he's very excited to see that she desires him for who he is, which was not the truth in his life. There was always something wrong with him, always something he wasn't doing right. And as he starts to understand more and more of where he's at, there's also this little notion that he can have power over her. So it's not just admiration anymore. It's, I can be in control. And, you know, because, again, it's kind of like sin immediately steps in. You know, it starts with just an innocent thing. Well, I'll be admired here. And then it grows to, well, I can have power. I can have control over her. She will do what I say. Because sin always grows. It always, you know, goes to the next level. And our sinly nature does the same.
Exactly. I like that. And that's one thing that happens in The Counterfeit, is that he gets what he wants, he thinks what he wants, but then he finds out that his appetite is not satiated. And that's what happened with sin. Sin doesn't ever get full. It doesn't ever get a full belly. It gets more and more and more, and it grows and grows and grows. And I remember, I don't watch this show, Nate, but a friend of mine was watching the show, and I will never forget it. It was Supernatural. And I don't watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was over my god, this is years ago, I was over my godson's house. And I think I don't know if it was one of the horsemen or something. I don't know. But one of the horsemen was talking to the demon guy or whatever, and they were trying to figure out why he wasn't hungry, because it was a horseman of hunger, something like that. And he wasn't hungry, and they couldn't get him. He said, because you're never, ever satisfied, you know, in his demonic voice or whatever, you know. And that's kind of what sin does. It's never satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
You can hit rock bottom, and it wants you to go further. And in The Counterfeit, you start to see these ideas perpetuate through our main character, Andrew. Now, you kind of gave some of it away with my next question was about, you know, tell us about The Counterfeit. You kind of gave some of it away with my question as I read that excerpt. But just, you know, if you can just pull out some more of what people will get when they read about The Counterfeit, tell us what it's about. You know, I know you kind of already mentioned some of it, but just tell us what it's about if you want to go ahead and expand on that.
I'm more just going to talk about it's a very simple idea, and it actually started when I was reading a book by Francis Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked a question that stuck with me ever since, and I read that years ago. And he asked, if you could have a heaven where all of your friends and family were with you, but Jesus wasn't, would you be happy?
Hmm.
And for, you know, for many people, that's just the idea of being with friends and family. For a lot of people, that's enough. But for me, without Christ, there's no purpose. There's no real paradise. So this was the question. This question was the seed for The Counterfeit. I wanted to create a paradise that had everything you want without offering what you truly need. So the simple premise is, what is paradise void of God?
You know what? Think about Francis Chan. He was, I won't say he was a prophet per se, but he has some very far-reaching ideas. And to see a lot of the stuff that he warned about back in the day come to fruition now, you know, he really has some insight. He truly, truly has some insight into what was going on. I remember reading, I mean, hearing some of his other stuff, and you're sitting there going, oh, my gosh, he could be right here right now. You know what I mean? Like, here right now. You know, and now we're all trying to figure things out and do things and stuff like that. And I had to read from Matthew chapter 10, verse 35. And you made the mention, like, if it was heaven with just my family and friends and not Jesus, would it be worth it? And for some people, oh, yeah, my family's there, right? But if you have a bad family history like some of us do, you don't want your family there. That wouldn't be heaven for you, okay? So some of us, we have those type of families. And I got to read Matthew 10:35, and this is Christ talking. He said, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And that's in 35. So Christ is dividing, but not dividing like Satan, who divides and destroys. He has us all reach for him because he paid for our sins.
Absolutely.
And we can come to him. Mm-hmm. You know, Satan just wants to destroy you. But Christ said, "I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." And some of us, we have those horror stories of horrible family life. We want a new father. We want a new mother. And that's what Christ can do for us. And so that's why I'm so excited for this book, The Counterfeit, which is available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and get your copy today. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, more with Nate and The Counterfeit. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literacations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literacation. Literacations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use as discussion questions. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. Or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guest right here on The Right Stuff.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We did get a comment from Cecilia in Frederick, Maryland. She says, "Love listening to the podcast every week." Cecilia, thank you so much for your support. You're one of the reasons why we have The Right Stuff. I could not have done it without the support of our listeners and our viewers who are viewing on our YouTube channel. So thank you so much for your support. And one thing, Nate, that I just have to share with you as we continue our discussion is that there are people out there who think Christian fiction, like you mentioned earlier, is very light, fluffy. And that's it kind of gets cliquish. And mind you, we are not saying that there's anything wrong with that type of fiction. I do think that some fiction should be light and fluffy. Some people want to escape from the world. They want something where, you know, at least these characters can act right better than me. And so we're not here to make anyone who likes to read that type of fiction wrong. Not at all. But I do want to say that if you feel that way, then you shouldn't have such a definitive feeling against those who like a little bit more darker stuff. You know what I'm saying, Nate? I'm trying to say it right for our brothers and sisters out there. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you got to keep in mind, too, is everybody has, like, a different past, and some people come from very dark places, and light fiction and light Christian fiction, they can't relate to that. They relate to darker fiction where Jesus steps into a really dark place, not I've had a very simple life. I mean, some people have, but there are some who need a life raft, and that's what dark fiction, dark Christian fiction, I think, offers, is a life raft.
And I want to make sure that we don't make it seem as if we're picking on people who write that way. All of you know I have had all types of fiction on this show. You know, I just like to say that.
But everybody has an audience, you know, and there needs to be room for the lighter fiction, and there also needs to be room for darker fiction where it's all God affirming, and it actually worships our Creator, even if we're using different ways to do it.
So with that in mind, what has the response been like from people who are believers and non-believers alike? Because I think this book will appeal to a non-believer for a lot of different reasons. But what has your responses been like from the readers?
Well, the counterfeit's been just kind of a sleeper. The one that's been a true mystery is Death Is Not the End, Daddy. It gets an average of 4 or 5 downloads a day. Without me advertising it. Well, this is a good and a bad thing because I think the wrong people are finding it. The recent response from one or two believers has been quite negative simply because they saw the whole thing as senseless. Why does God have to use the death of children to come back into some life? I think they're asking the wrong question. Instead, it should be, how is God able to make something good from absolute tragedy? Or how is he able to factor in all of our messes and still make it work for our good? Now, on the other hand, believers seem to understand the message fully and feel it is told in a powerful and affecting way. So perception is everything, I suppose.
Makes sense. I know I was talking to someone. It was Sunday. I was talking to someone Sunday. I went to a book signing with Zara Brodinek. She was in town from Detroit, and I went to her book signing. And one thing that happened, we were talking, I said, it is not a human capability to turn something bad into good. I don't think it's something that we can do.
We can
make the most out of things, but to turn a bad, tragic situation to where you seem there is no hope and turn into good, that is a God thing. That is a miracle. And so how many of us, especially in the faith, who have these stories where you say, this was a dark, lonely place, I had no hope, and all of a sudden you look and you go, oh my goodness. And for those of you who follow me online, you know that I shared about my self-esteem issues that I have. I shared about that. And the one lady who really helped me get out of it, she had at one point was about to kill herself. She's about to kill herself. And her husband now was the one who actually stopped her from doing that and then led her to Christ. They ended up getting married about 3 or 4 years ago now. And through her, she was able to help me get this monkey off my back about my low self-esteem, you know. And you kind of go, like, how can you be on the edge of suicide to now you help someone who's been in the faith, you know, quote-unquote longer than you, but still has that because I deal with low self-esteem all the time, and I was very open about it on my Facebook. And so many of you were like, Parker, what's wrong with you? You know, like, I'm sorry. This is my cross to bear, you know. And so, you know, but she was going to kill herself, and she became a help to me. And so you kind of look, how does something bad like that become something good? And I totally think that is a God thing. And that's why the counterfeit cannot suppress or surpass the real. It cannot surpass that. And one of the questions that I have for you is that, you know, in this book, there's a piece of every author in the pages. So, you know, which character do you see yourself as, or which one do you think reflects you? And if it does, why do you think that particular character does?
it's kind of funny because I think every character comes from some part of me, even if that part is more an observer than a participator. For example, when I write for non-believers, I don't cheapen their views or approach it from the place of a believer. Instead, I actually try to find the logic, the story as to why God has never entered the equation of their life. My first story, Clouds, there were two characters, Grant and Bobby, and even after all these years, they are the ones I relate to most, because this was written during a very dark time after my dad died, so each man represents a polar opposite side of me at that time. One side was the side that still believed in God, still loved him dearly, while the other side represented the part of me that wanted to walk away from him for good. So writing my debut was a spiritual wrestling match through every word. But I do relate, and pieces of me are in every character that I write, but two that I always come back to because they were, you know, that took 5 years of my life, and that really, that got a lot of poison out of me so that I could really actually glorify my Savior with my later works. So.
Amen. And, you know, you mentioned how you say even non-believers, you don't make light of their reasons for being non-believers. And that is something I think Christians in general should adopt more. I know for myself, I wasn't always that way. I used to always go, well, that's just stupid. But then sometimes you hear something and they'll throw you off. And I've mentioned it before on the show that what got me into apologetics was questions that an atheist asked me at 3 o'clock in the morning. When I worked at a drugstore years ago, and he asked me questions that I just at the time could not answer. And I thank God for that atheist, because he made me firm up my faith. He made me want to know more to those questions. And so that's why you shouldn't I'm not talking about the virulent atheists who just make you, you know, they don't have conversations. They just want to holler at you, or they just want to, you know, make you feel like you're stupid. We're not talking about them. We're talking about people who are honestly and sincerely have questions and honestly and sincerely want answers to those questions. Mm-hmm. And just because they doubt you doesn't mean that they'll ever forever doubt you, because nowadays people want clarity. Because they're finding out that without clarity, we have this situation where people don't know what to think. And so in a post-truth society, like I mentioned last week, in a post-truth society, what happens is that the truth doesn't matter. We just want to feel good, whatever that is. And so nowadays people, when something happens in their life that makes them have to question things, they want an answer. They don't want, well, whatever makes you feel good. They need an answer. And so that's why these types of stories, like here in the counterfeit, you're tackling these hard questions through the vehicle of fiction and through the vehicle of dark fiction. So I hope those listening will pick up a copy of the book. Now, before we go, we got about 5 minutes left before we got to give it to the end of our show. I want to know about your writing process, because this show is always about encouraging authors to pick up the pen and write. So what does your writing process look like?
What I actually do is I never write out of order. Even though I might have an ending or a middle in mind, I jot down a few notes so I don't lose the idea, and then I just write from page one. If I'm stuck on a part, I stay on that part until I break through. And I also don't write with drafts in mind. When I put words to the paper, they're almost always permanent. I do very little reading of other works so that I can approach my stories with a fresh mindset. I know this goes against pretty much all of what's recommended, but I approach writing as if it's never been done before, as if there are no books on how to do it. And I let Spirit guide me through it.
I like that. I like that. Because I agree with you, Nate, and I'm kind of glad that we have that same thing, because I try not to read other stuff, particularly when I have an idea, because I want my idea to shine through. Now, we do understand that I don't think any new story has been out there. Pretty much everything has been used. We just put new spins on it, you know. But at the same time, don't let that stop you from writing your story. And so with that in mind, what are your next projects you have coming up?
I'm still working out the conclusion of the Faceless Future trilogy named The Final Stage. Something also may be materializing back in the world of the counterfeit. Not a sequel, but another story that it visits it and shows new sides to the established world. I'm also thinking of tackling a husband's affair that starts within the church. The story will follow both the husband and wife, but at different times. the husband during the affair and the wife 2 years later, once all has been revealed. So two stories in one that will ultimately tie together. I'm not entirely sure what will materialize, but there are definitely ideas floating around. I would just say stay tuned.
Nothing wrong with that. Stay tuned. And, you know, I wrote a book about, it's called The Other Man, and I wrote a book about, not that per se, but it's in there.
Yeah.
And those are the type of topics that a lot of people don't want to hear about. And I'm like, but you do know that there are, you know, divorce going on in the church, not outside of it, but in the church. There are people who can't stand each other. There are husband and wives faking that marriage. I mean, this is in the church, y'all. This is not outside of it. Out there, it's in the church, and that's why I think the Lord is doing something by moving us and heating us up again. You know, if you're into end times beliefs from a futuristic point of view, you know, he said you need a hot nor cold. And so the Lord is actually doing us all a favor when he exposes certain things to us. He's doing us all a favor, and he's heating us up so he doesn't spit us out, you know, so we don't make him sick to his stomach. Yeah. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah,
so if people want to get in contact with you, tell us what your social media outlets are.
Kind of an old man when it comes to social media. I have a Facebook page. I think it's facebook.com/cloudsdweller. Because Nate Allen was taken, so I had to come up with something else. But, yeah, then that will connect to the books you can get as well.
So that's where you are, your Facebook and your website. And that's fine. And I love having older authors on my show, by the way, because you know what? You have just hit the 21st century with a podcast, okay? So you are in the 21st century.
I'm actually only 27, but I'm an old man when it comes to social media stuff. So, yeah.
You.
Yeah.
You said 27, Lord Jesus. Okay. So, that makes me laugh. You know why? Because you definitely should be in the 21st century. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad. I'm sorry, y'all. I just got thrown off my thing here. So, Nate, again, thank you for being with me on this show. What I want you to do in the few moments we have left, I want you to encourage our author friends. And the reason why is this show is about encouraging authors to pick up the pen and write. God has given them that ability. So go ahead, in the few moments we have left, encourage our author friends out there today.
There are two points of encouragement that I want to cover. Number one, I fear that many authors end up settling on a story for marketability purposes only. I hear some amazing ideas that are then boxed in by the need to be marketable. The words I would give to anyone is write what you are inspired to write, create new roads, and believe if God has given you the idea, he has a purpose and a plan for it. And the second point is never approach writing from a place of fear where one person is better than the other. Always approach it as you have something to offer that no one else does. You have stories to tell no one else can. No one is better than the other. Each brings something new and different to the table.
I like the way you said that, because some people do write to market, and you know, like I say a lot of things, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you have an idea in your heart, the Lord's giving you that idea, go ahead and write it, because you never know if that one book that you write can keep someone from falling off the edge. And only your story can do that, whether it's a memoir, whether it's a fiction story, whatever. Only your story can
Definitely.
Do that. So write as the Lord leads you. And I know for some of us, we see writing as a ministry. We see writing as a gift. And that's okay, too. So make sure that you heed Nate's words today as he gives you those words of encouragement. Again, Nate, thank you so much for being with us on this show.
Thanks
I really,
me.
Really enjoyed
Good.
Having you. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back soon.
Thank you. I can't wait.
And we were talking today to Nate Allen. He is the author of the book, The Counterfeit, which is available on Amazon.com for 99 cents. So go ahead and pick up your copy today. If you like dark fiction and you like The Twilight Zone, The Counterfeit is for you. Make sure you go ahead and get a copy of it today. And let me tell you, leave a review. I've told you over and over again, reviews help authors breathe at night. It lets us know that we did what we said we were going to do. And if we didn't, we want to know about that too. Make sure you go ahead and get your copy of The Counterfeit today. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J., and you have a wonderful absolutely glorious. Blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.